This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Monetization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with Mark Tregear, co-founder of Databurrow. His experience includes designing X-Analysis, RPG programming in financial applications, and working with the AS400. Currently, Mark works at the Databurrow Development Center in Weybridge, England. Let's take this opportunity to learn more about software monetization using the Databurrow approach. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Mark Tregear at Databurrow.
Give me a little bit of background about your experience with software development and application modernization.
Right. I started as a programmer and then became a project manager and then became a freelance developer and got a group of freelancers sort of working for me. And then back 20 years ago, we were developing a tool at the same time, just after Sinon had come out, that was also a type of development technology. But we soon realized that, A, we were rather eclipsed by the already existing contenders in that. And secondly, quite surprising to us, people really needed help in understanding and reworking their old applications. We hadn't intended to do that, but it sort of got thrust upon us. And so the tool developed more and more as a re-engineering design recovery tool, which basically extracted all the RPG COBOL applications into a comprehensive database. And then we can automatically rework the software from there. We hadn't anticipated that being successful in that area because there were already tools for that, but it turned out that they weren't satisfying the demand. And we really had a big hit with using that software to perform fairly mundane re-engineering for things like euro conversions, field resizing, and most importantly, year 2000 conversions. And you see, using our technology, you can write programs, and we did write programs that automatically modernized the software in that mundane sense, in the sense of making it actually cope with the change, the year 2000 or similar change. And we could make that process 100% automatic, which was what all the pundits said could not be done. And so it got to the extent that people would send us software to be converted. We could convert it completely and send it back at the end of the week, charge them a huge bill. And we made an awful lot of money from that, which is since the year 2000 has been reinvested in the company.
Having a way to do that automatically sure makes a difference. A lot of companies had to read a lot of lines of code.
Yeah. Yes, we also used to do that. There was a subpart of the company that did that for 2E applications. Perversely, it wasn't so easy to make that 100% automatic. No defect of the 2E code base, but simply because there is a relatively smaller number of customers for that, so it wasn't possible to automate it quite so efficiently.
Right, okay. As you've gone through the history of your company and more recently, what are some of the primary reasons that you see companies needing to modernize their applications?
There's three reasons. Top reason is for productivity. Modernizing, working with an application that consists of millions of lines of 3GL code, COBOL or RPG, is just not very efficient. The second reason is to work with a more modern user interface. Though it's possible to have RPG programs work with web applications, with CGI, obviously the language wasn't written for that, whereas that type of user interface and that type of interaction is native to languages like Java, VB, C#, etc. And the third reason is to make use of a much larger base of people, of programmers, and software houses that work with the language. With RPG, you've got a rather restricted pool of both staff and outsourcing companies that you can deal with. With almost all people new to the industry will find it much easier to work with one of their newer languages and the forces of competition being what they are, you get a much better deal from an outsourced company.
In order to modernize, there's several different approaches that are out on the market right now, all the way from, you know, just changing the screens to completely rewriting and re-engineering the application. What are some of the other kind of approaches that you see?
Well, let's do it at a scale of strategic options you have. As you mentioned, you can simply opt to put a new sort of screen on the front of the old application. Lipstick on a pig strategy. I would argue that you haven't really modernized then. You've effectively just put a different sort of terminal on the front, so it's really an unmodernized application. A second strategy you can have is to essentially convert it to, in other words, the code will effectively stay the same. It'll be line-for-line converted into a new language. It's difficult to see the point of that because you won't actually get any better productivity. Indeed, it's virtually certain that you'll get worse productivity because the resulting application will be difficult to work with whether you're an expert in the new technology or the old technology. New programmers will look at it and think, well, I would never have coded like that. It's analogous to System 36 conversions that were done in the past.
Is that where you get a language sort of like COBOL? You know, you get a combination of COBOL and Java mixed together.
Oh, well, yes. Well, basically what you're going to get, and if you've seen a language conversion, we'll have seen this. The RPG or COBOL instructions will have been converted into, say, the Java instructions. There usually will be more lines of Java than there were of RPG, simply because some of those instructions do more things, and you have to emulate all the specific features of the old language in the new environment. You will end up with Java that nobody could possibly have written. You have a system that's totally peculiar to a converted system. The whole point, productivity of the new language, comes from the fact that it's written in an object-oriented way. If it's not, then it loses any advantage at all. So I would argue there's basically no point in that. The third and fourth alternatives, the third alternative is to rewrite it without tools, which is going to achieve the goal, but it's going to achieve the goal rather slowly because you can only rewrite software at a certain pace. It also will tend to confuse the issue as to whether the new application needs reanalyzing from a business point of view. The fourth approach, which is our approach, is really a variation of rewriting it. It's to rewrite it automatically using the recovered design. In other words, to recover the essence of what the old programs did, to rebuild most of it as though you're to the same quality standards as you would do if you were rewriting it from scratch. But then, of course, you've got to make sure that you're retrieving all the peculiar details of the old application.
You actually end up with brand new programs, but using the legacy logic and so forth.
Yes. The Phoenix approach. You're building it again on the ashes of the old.
When you use your approach, which sounds like a very good approach, what does this kind of project consist of?
In the first stage, you've got to actually recover the design, which is the application of our core tool, X-Analysis. And just from the business point of view, from our company's commercial point of view, we have found, to our surprise, that a lot of companies get enormous value purely out of that first stage. They don't actually have to go very much further to getting value from the project. Because for some people, the modernization goal is a little way off. They're planning to take several years. The second stage is to break up the application into project areas. We call them application areas, so the modernization can be staged. Basically, our approach, because this human intervention is going to take time, so you have to decide in what phases you're going to modernize. You have to split up the application from a business point of view. That is also an output, the subdivision of the application, that has great value from the user's point of view, quite apart from modernization. Then the third phase is to actually apply the modernization automatically, in other words, to recover the design and rebuild the putative new application from all the recovered design constructs, the recovered screens, the transaction details when the files are read or updated, etc., and the business rules determining the validation and the subsequent processing. That's all done automatically. And the fourth stage is the audit process, which is to check that, in fact, all the details of the old application are in the new application and to apply corrections.
When you're modernizing your project, is there a certain application architecture that you're trying to move to? Does it really matter what architecture you are going towards?
Well, what we find is that regardless of the new technology that the customer's going to use, the specific language, whether it's VB, C#, Java, PHP, etc., really people are aiming for the same type of application architecture broadly. There really is strategic agreement on that. And what we mean by that is you're moving from a procedural approach to a screen-based event-driven approach. In other words, where the actions of the user on the screen drive the programs rather than the program driving the user. And it also should be an object-oriented approach, where the functionality, instead of being replicated and repeated many times in the legacy programs, is encapsulated in new objects. And we find that's consistent.
In your approach, you're not necessarily having to target one specific language. You can actually, per project, determine what language you want to build your final programs in?
That's absolutely right. From our point of view, the generation language doesn't make a huge amount of difference. We favor the languages that are most similar to Java. But basically, that is most of them. So we're talking about Java, C#, PHP, ETL. But it won't make a huge amount of difference if VB, for example.
In your process, you're recycling your code into a modern language. It seems like that's a complex process. How are you able to accomplish this?
Fundamentally, by design recovery. In other words, when we have a 5,000-line RPG program, we're not aiming to produce 5,000 lines of Java. The design recovery process is, first of all, finding the screens and mapping them as new screens. So, in other words, it's producing what we call function definitions, what in 2E systems are also called function definitions. In other words, enhanced screens that not just define the look of the screen, but where the data comes from and how it's validated, etc., and also how the screen is processed in terms of what are the further programs that are called from there. We're then looking at the actual logic that is processed as the result of command keys or enter keys on each screen to see exactly what happens. That can either be a logical action, like a call to another function, or it can be a business rule. In other words, conditional processing based upon the value of one of the database fields or one of the fields that have been entered on the screen. And the logic is built afresh from that design. So you'll end up with a much smaller amount of code. Of course, there will be some bits of logic, peculiar sort of methods of screen flow that don't easily translate, and that's what the audit process at the end of the project's for.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you know, most of the older languages are written procedural,
yes,
and you're moving to object-oriented. How do you handle that conversion from, you know, procedural? They work so much different than an object-oriented approach. How do you accomplish that?
Right. Well, the very first primary difference between the procedural languages and the newer languages. So the newer languages are event-driven. In other words, instead of the old language actually driving the screen in VB or Java or any of these languages, this screen, the event on the screen, drives the logic. Now, we have a process, an automated process that we developed over many years, that essentially does this, that actually looks first of all, after having found all the screens, then finds what the screens do. So if you like, it's turning the whole program inside out. So it becomes a set of procedures that are called, invoked from each screen action, not just written in one long screed of logic. And then the second aspect is that we're, in terms of the processing driven by each event, we're turning it into business rules. In other words, we're identifying the purpose of each particular snippet of logic and rebuilding that as an object.
And then I guess after that, you have to make sure that the programs actually do fulfill the business logic. Your audit takes care of this, is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Actually, I just want to make one further amendment to the previous answer. There is an exception to what I just said, which is if you start with a 4GL system like 2E, perversely, that's already written in an event-driven model. So you have an extra advantage there. The logic always was written in 2E and some 4GLs to an event-driven model, so it makes that really quite precise. So you won't actually get the problem of missing logic. But yes, if you're in a 3GL situation with RPG or COBOL, basically there is a final audit stage by which we provide you screens and reports, interactive displays, that allow you to see side by side the old logic from the program and where it's been mapped into the new objects. And it specially highlights any lines that have been left behind, and then you have to decide what to do with them. And that is the audit process.
When you're looking at the legacy system, what are the two most important assets of that system that you look at in the modernization project?
Essentially, we're looking at transaction definitions. In other words, what in a 2E system would be called functions, or enhanced screens, and what the screens do and where the data comes from, how it's joined together, the join rules. And secondly, we're looking at the business rules, which are the process rules. In a 2E system, that's action diagrams. But more generally, it's the logic, Java logic beams that are driven by events on the screen. And we're extracting that automatically by analyzing the RPG or COBOL code.
You're extracting the business logic without programmers reading the code. What is it that you're doing to extract that logic?
Basically, it's processing the code, looking for business rules. A business rule's dictionary definition is any piece of logic that conditionally depends upon the value of a database field. So the first thing we've got to do is to map where every single work field in the program comes from, which is the same sort of thing we used to do in the year 2000, X-analysis periods. The unique thing about our tool, the base X-analysis tool, is that it has a knowledge base of every line of code and every variable in every line of code. So it's able to map what every variable means. And then it's looking for pockets of logic that are driven by the conditional value of a field that's derived from the database. Then it finds what the action does. The action might be a validation, or it might be some miscellaneous piece of logic. If it's a validation, for example, it would look at what is the convention by which that application puts errors on the screens. How does it set a message number or an indicator? And then it'll decode what that really means in terms of the application. What is the message description? And it'll turn that into a pocket of logic that's described in our re-engineering database. That will be converted to the new system.
Part of your process, you develop a data model. How does having a good data model help you in writing code into the modern language?
Basically, because it enhances the productivity of the new approach. Any modern system tends to have the entity relationships explicitly described. So we know that, for example, the orders file refers to the stock file. That information can be used, or is used, in most development techniques to make sure that the database accesses automatically know how to join the data they automatically know how to validate the data, which is quite a productivity boost. Now, the system I is fairly unusual in not having that entity relationship information, unless somebody had happened to use the very latest features provided by IBM. What our tool does is it automatically analyzes the code to see what entity relationships existed in the legacy code, and then it makes turns that into an explicit data model. And then any new functions built, whether they're re-engineered or whether they're built entirely from scratch, will automatically know about those data modeling relationships.
Let's see, DDL, where does that come into converting to a new language?
Well, converting the application, if it's System I applications, converting its DDS to DDL is not necessary, but it is quite advantageous. The two advantages it will give you is, first of all, when you convert the DDL, it'll then describe the fields by their long names, the textual names, which of course is the way you refer to them in 2E, for example. But and that type of reference is absolutely standard in any of the newer languages. The programmers do not expect to be reading mnemonics through the code. There are ways in which you can write the new language using Hibernate, for example, so that you work with the new alias names in spite of staying with DDS, but moving to DDL helps with that. The second way in which DDL helps is that it will improve the performance of the application quite considerably. When you move to DDL, you've moved to the SQL-defined database. Data is validated in a different way in an SQL-defined database. It's validated when you write it, not when you read it, and that will make quite a considerable performance improvement and make it easier to write new SQL-based applications. Every new language, I think virtually without exception, uses SQL to access the database rather than record-based I/O, as the RPG applications do.
SQL is definitely getting to be used quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading and saw you talk about the application skeleton that's developed out of, I think, the data model. What does this consist of, and how do you write that?
Right. As we said before, in our technology, as with, in fact, almost all 4GL and model-based generators, what happens is that we take the recovered design and we build a new program using a template programmer, in other words, a core standard design for that type of program that we store in a little database. We have skeletons, like templates, already defined for all the standard types of transactions, such as enter and update a record, display the equivalent of a subfile, transaction, edit a transaction, etc. Our technology allows one to feed in more types of skeleton if you encounter very unusual types of legacy logic. But basically, it consists of the model programs and the model business logic for any particular target language, for C#, Java, PHP, etc.
Now, UML is one of the modern, you know, definition languages. Do you use that in rebuilding the legacy systems?
Well, yes. Though UML is not necessary to our approach, but it can be used to modify the recovered design. Let me explain. The recovered design is extracted into our database, which can then be translated and is translated into UML so that you can see the transaction logic and, well, the entire logic of the recovered design in UML format and display it in rational tools, for example, or this built-in Eclipse tool that works as part of the open source Eclipse project. and you can use that UML to decide on any changes you wish to make to the application. So you can work with true model-based development in your re-engineering stage. In other words, modify the application after it's modified the design, after it's been recovered, and build from a slightly modified design. However, it's not necessary to do that. If you wished for a quick project, you can just avoid the step of looking at it in UML generates into the target language straight away.
But if you do use UML, then you're able to maybe correct some of the issues you've had in your legacy system.
Absolutely. I mean, a typical issue would be that the legacy system has been built around the constraints of the 24x80 5250 design. So in other words, you can't easily fit very many fields on the screen. So the application was split into a number of transaction screens artificially in order that we didn't compromise that screen size limitation. In the new application, you've got much broader constraints there. So at the UML level, you can choose to merge different screens together.
Say you've done your analysis and you've seen now that your legacy system has some core issues, maybe in the database design, or when would you address that in your modernization project?
You would do that before going to stage three, in other words, before doing the generation of the new application. It would generally be more efficient, in other words, to perform your modifications while you were still in the legacy mode. So you should aim to correct the final definitions while they're still in the X-analysis model of the application. You can, of course, correct those in UML, but then you'd be doing things by hand. The beauty about making changes in the X-analysis model is that one can do the whole work programmatically, just as we used to do for the year 2000. In other words, you can make global changes. And this is quite often what our tool is used for, even when the customer is not considering actual modernization at the moment. They simply wish to accommodate a change to the database design or an increase in the field size or change of keys, etc. It can all be done automatically.
That's a pretty nice ability to do, because a lot of times in a modernization project, you do have some glaring issues you want to address, and it sounds like you can potentially address those here while you're modernizing.
Oh, absolutely.
So you end up with a much better product in the end.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, another factor which I didn't mention is that your existing staff are much more familiar with the current technology than they are with the new technology. So it reduces risk to make those type of modifications while we're still in legacy mode, so to speak.
So now let's move on a little bit in the phase. We're ready to generate our actual programs. What process do you follow to generate the programs? Is it all done automatically that you generate them, or do people have to look at the logic that's been out there and write programs?
They don't need to write programs. What does at the generation stage, there is scope for manual intervention. Basically, we are logic viewer, our migrated logic viewer, presents you with a screen of all the recovered design, the recovered business logic, with the blocks of business rule logic that are going to be recovered all highlighted, and the parts that are not recoverable, not highlighted. It then allows the user, the programmer, to work through that and change the design decisions made by the product. Of course, if he finds that the product is making too many wrong decisions, you would then confer with DataBro about changing the parameters of the tool so that the conversion is more accurate, so you have less manual work.
Once the application then is written, your audit step comes into play. How do you audit the generated programs to make sure they're doing what they were supposed to do in the beginning?
Well, there are two stages to the audit. The first of all, the first stage is to audit what legacy code was carried across and what was ignored. And we give you a special user interface for analyzing that. The product itself highlights exactly which logic was converted and where it was placed in the new VB or Java program. You can then look at your legacy logic and see which pieces will have been missed out. That's one thing. So that's stage one. And that, may, of course, may require some extra manual work. Hopefully not too much, but I mean, there is certainly, in the more complex software, will be need for that. The second stage of actually auditing that it actually works in the generated form will have to be done by testing. There's no way around that. This is simply an enhanced, greatly enhanced method of building new software. But as with all software, you've got to test it.
So right now, you don't have an automated testing process? People have to just run through the testing themselves?
We don't supply automated testing tools. There are other vendors that do, and we put you in touch with them.
Okay, so you do end up with a good product that you can work with and test at that point.
Absolutely, that's the whole point.
If you could compare this process to someone going in and manually doing all these steps, what kind of time are they going to be saving?
We will save approximately two-thirds of project time. So if it would have taken you 6 months manually, take you 2 months with automation. Is the rough rule of thumb. Of course, I mean, sometimes people underestimate how long it would have taken manually, but we think that's quite accurate.
Are there any kind of shortcuts that someone can take along the way, or do they pretty much need to follow every step all the way through?
Well, the major way that you can make a much bigger time saving than that two-thirds is by piloting and prototyping the approach so that you increase the scope of the automation. And this would often require us to be helping with the project by improving, for example, the application skeletons so they're more suited the way that particular legacy application worked. By repeated work with a prototype application over quite a number of weeks, maybe months, one can streamline the automation approach so it becomes 90% automated with very little manual intervention.
90%, that's a pretty good number for especially a really large application.
Well, absolutely. If you've got a large, you have a choice, and this would come out of the application subdivision, whether you wish to just do a small piece of the application at a time, or whether you're aiming to convert the complete software, as software houses might well choose to do, so if they've got a complete application in the new technology. If you're aiming for the latter, then it is probably worthwhile to buy in some help from Deborah to streamline the modernization technology so that it really suits your application and you can get the whole thing done really quickly when after that streamlining process has taken place. Yeah. Of course, during the streamlining process, it may take quite a number of months, but your own staff don't actually have to spend much effort in that period. A special case, of course, is with existing applications that already were model-based. In other words, they were built from a 2E model or some similar technology, or were developed in a particular by a particular technique, even just using RPG code. In those cases, if we can guarantee that all the software fits a certain model, which is a great advantage of those approaches, you know what to expect, then it may well be possible right now to achieve that sort of 89% result.
A model-based language like 2E actually lends itself towards being modernized more quickly than RPG or COBOL application.
Absolutely. A 2E application, to take the extreme case, was already written in what is effectively a modern architecture. That's the form in which it sits in the model. The only trouble is, as soon as it's generated into RPG, it's in really a very old legacy structure, so it's actually perfectly primed to be generated as Java or similar.
A modernization project is risky and expensive. How can companies address the risk and reduce their risk in a modernization project and maybe come out in a more cost-effective process?
Essentially, by doing the modernization piece by piece is one thing. The second is by deploying much more technology tool rather than deploying many of their staff on it. The great risk with modernization projects is that staff spend a lot of time writing software that then is then abandoned because there's a change in approach decided on later. And this happens quite frequently. The modernization takes so long that then actually newer technology comes along or the current approach has proved not so useful. The beauty of doing the modernization with a tool with a high degree of automation is that if a change of technological strategy is decided upon, there are quite a few possibilities there. Different UI technologies, user interface technologies, different development languages. There's quite a lot of super Java technologies, like WebSphere Smash is an example. We may have had Ruby, Grails, Groovy, and new technologies. That the cost of adapting to those new technologies comes down to the tool provider, i.e. us, not the company actually performing the conversion. And so that reduces the risk a lot.
This process, can it be effective for large shops and small shops? Because, you know, a small shop maybe have 2 to 5 or 10 programmers that are busy doing their work, and then your big shops have maybe hundreds of programmers.
Well, yes, you can use the modernization approach on either end, but they will use it differently. With a large system, be relatively much greater stress on the analysis stage. So the generation approach becomes more of a downstream activity. With a large shop, it's much more critical to know that you're rebuilding the right portion of the system, you're building it in the right way. So systems analysis and the use of the recovered design just to establish exactly what you're trying to do and the links with part of the software that's staying in the legacy structure become much more critical. And with a small shop, you'll aim for a much higher degree of automation to achieve a more straightforward objective normally.
And you were mentioning a little bit about the kind of assistance you provide. Can you elaborate a little bit more? What kind of assistance Data Bureau does provide for customers?
Essentially, in the first instance, of course, we've got to train you in the use of the tool and the use of the approach. But secondly, and perhaps most importantly, we've got to prove that the approach will produce exactly the desired end result that you need, and it's much more efficient if that's done at our cost rather than the customer's cost. So essentially, we will take a portion of their software and modernize it, or alternatively, we will undertake to streamline the approach with new skeletons and new techniques to achieve their precise objective. But basically, rather than asking the customer to experiment with the application of the tool to their particular legacy techniques, we'll do the early stages of the project for them, and then they'll take it over.
And then the tools that you provide, do you market them separately, or are they a package of tools that you use to modernize, or how does that work?
We supply our tools in a module-based form. The modules are cumulative. In other words, you always start with the basic X analysis, which I think is now the industry standards, documentation cross-referencing tool. Then you move to re-engineering and data modeling, and you moved to design recovery, and you basically decide to buy more or less of the tool set, or you can start small and just buy the add-on modules, which essentially doesn't cost you much more.
And if someone's interested in finding out more about your process and your tools and your customer support, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Just log on to www.databorough.com. That's databorough.com. And you can then automatically download a free trial of the software or all sorts of materials explaining how it works. So you can test all that out remotely. As soon as you're ready to talk about it, send us an email.
Well, Mark, thank you for your time today. I learned a lot on my side, so I'm glad that we were able to spend this time together.
Thank you very much for your time, too. look forward to discussing it again.
Thank you.
See you then.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often on our website to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark Schroeder, please visit softwaremonetization.com and click on the interview link. This has been a production of MAT, Marketing Assistance Technologies.